questions being raised with regard to the status of a Ben Noach. And as we've mentioned many times, the Torah contains a system of laws which is binding not only on Jews but on the Gentiles as well. The Gentile is obligated to accept that the Torah is the only repository of God's revelation. There is no other revelation, nor will there ever be another revelation. And it does contain a system of laws governing the life of the Gentile, as well as the system of Taryag Mitzvos governing the life of the Jews. And the Rambam makes it clear that a Gentile who accepts the seven Noahide laws, that acceptance is considered a form of geirus, so to speak. It is a level of conversion to the true system that he's supposed to live by. That's a righteous Gentile, and that individual is living the correct life in the eyes of God and has a share in the world to come. Now, he does not have to convert to Judaism in order to obtain a share in the world to come. The question is being raised, if that's the case, then what would be the purpose of anyone ever converting to Judaism when they're not required to do so? And all they need to do in order to find favor and live in accordance with God's will is to convert, so to speak, to the seven Noahide laws. At the outset, question arises with regard to the issue of degree of perfection or chelek and olam haba, the extent of the person's reward in the world to come. Do we automatically assume that Jews are on a higher level and that the Bnei Noach are not on such a high level? My own personal opinion on this, the idea that there are different degrees, different levels of Olam Haba, basing myself on my understanding of the Rambam's position, my understanding that the extent to which a person partakes of Olam Haba, this is what the Rambam says in the Mishneh Torah, is that his portion of Olam Haba is contingent upon Godel Ma'asav, the greatness of his deeds, Verov Chachmaso, and the extent of his wisdom. So you have to understand that formula. Of course, the essential element in perfection, according to the Rambam, is knowledge, true knowledge, Yedias Hashem, knowledge of God. But he does mention the greatness of his deeds, which means to say that the determining factor is perfection, and perfection is not just some type of an abstract knowledge or understanding of ideas. It is the extent to which this forms a person's reality principle, that a person's emotions and activities are based upon his love of truth. So his emotions have to be in line with his knowledge. That's what it means, the greatness of his deeds. So really what it means is the extent of the person's perfection. The more perfected an individual in terms of his love of truth, his love of knowledge, to the extent that all of his activities, all of his emotions are directed in accordance with the truth, that's a more perfected soul. And the more the soul is perfected, the greater the share of Olam Haba. Which means that not all Jews will have the same chelek. Now, of course, none of us can determine what a person's chelek is, only God knows. But the general idea would be, for example, a person that performs all the mitzvahs, but does so on a perfunctory level and without great understanding and insight, as opposed to a person that performs mitzvahs and has greater knowledge and obtains, internalizes the perfection of the mitzvahs, that person is a more perfected person. Now, if you can look at it that way, I don't think this is the way that most people look at it, most Jews look at it. Because most people look at it in a kind of a mechanical way. It's the amount of mitzvahs, you know, it's like points. You get checks and points, so to speak. If that's the case, then I don't think that you necessarily have to conclude that Jews, by definition, have a higher share in Olam Haba than Noachites. Because Noachides can, aside from the seven mitzvos, can take on more mitzvos in the framework of not being commanded. They can learn a great, great, great deal of Torah. Just to master all the Torah that pertains to the seven mitzvos involves a tremendous amount of knowledge. And all the Ashkafic elements, the Chumash and the Jewish philosophy, all the true ideas of Yadus. So what's to stop a Noachide, who has a true appreciation of learning and has a brilliant mind, of raising himself to the highest level of perfection, in which he would dwarf an overwhelming majority of ordinary religious Jews who just go through the motions, basically, and not on that level? Would it not follow logically that such a person would receive a higher chelik in Olam Haba than many observant Jews, if the determining factor is the degree of perfection that one attains through one's knowledge and through one's perfection? Notice we don't encourage people at all to convert to Judaism. Judaism is not in search of converts. To the contrary, if somebody wants to convert, initially we discourage the person from converting. Part of that, of course, is to test out the extent of their sincerity. But clearly you see that we're not in search of converts. Part of the reason is that there's no reason why a person should convert in the first place. A Gentile who wants to live according to the Torah, according to God's will, all that person has to do is to study the relevant section that pertains to him, the seven Noahide laws. That's all you have to do. And that is a tremendous springboard for a very high degree of perfection. A person can reach a very, very high level of perfection and achieve a tremendous share in the world to come. As I've just pointed out, a share that could be higher than many, many Jews who keep the Tariag Mitzvahs. The question is then, what is the whole point of conversion? What would be the reason for it? I would say that there are two factors. One would be the system of Tariag Mitzvahs. That all things being equal, a person that's basing their life on the system of Tariag Mitzvahs, the 613 commandments, is in a much more advantageous position vis-a-vis perfection. Of course, that all depends upon the approach that a person takes. On a certain level, it can be a liability. If a person is not sincere about keeping them, so that they violate the mitzvahs, so their punishment is going to be greater. But nevertheless, there's no question that the system that God has given to the Jews, the system of 613 commandments, which is much more extensive and covers every area of life, is a system which will lead a person to a much higher level of perfection than one who is merely bound to the system of seven. What I mentioned before is individual cases, that you can have individual Jews that are nominally orthodox and observant, and you can have individual Noahides who stand out and make a tremendous effort to learn and perfect themselves. Those are individual exceptions. But by and large, for starters, if you take two systems, one is much, much less demanding, but that's all you need just to get by. And then you have an advanced program, an honest program, an elite program, so to speak, in which you have to meet all of these challenges, assuming that people are approaching things in the correct way. So obviously, the school, let us say, the school where the standards are much, much higher and they require knowledge of 10 languages and everybody has to be fluent in all kinds of mathematics. I'm just using it as an example. Well, I said they're going to produce greater scholars, if that's the goal, to produce scholars. You see what I'm saying? So that's one reason. A person wants to be part of a system, and indeed that puts you in part of a society, because now you have to be connected to the Jewish people to join a community which you otherwise wouldn't have. You're not going to have a community of Noachides to join a community which is patterned and modeled after these goals. So that's one reason why a person would want to do so. It's like saying, why would you want to go to a very advanced elite type of a university when in order to practice your profession you can go to a local community college where the requirements are much, much easier, not nearly as demanding. Why would you want to go? Well, the answer is, if the person's truly interested in perfecting themselves and in getting a much more advanced understanding and an education, that's where they want to go. Of course, you could say, well, you can get that on your own. We'll go to your... Of course you can, but most, not all people are going to have the initiative. They'll respond to the situation. When I'm in a situation, I'm taking courses, I have to pass, I have to do it, so then I'm forced to do all the activities. So in a sense, that's what the Taryag is, the system of Torah is. You're forced. You don't have much choice. You're forced to engage in certain types of perfection, of imposed discipline, curbing your appetites, utilizing your intelligence in all areas, if you do the system properly. So that's one reason. And as I said, secondarily, you also become part of a community, which does, perhaps it's not that visible in America, but again, the community does exert a certain amount of social pressure in the right direction. The second reason, I would say, has to do, I believe, with the case, for example, of Rus, and to a certain extent with Yisro, that there is another avenue towards one's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with God, and that is the instrument that God has chosen. That's a very, very significant theme of this week's Parsha, Kisisa, which talks about the sin of the golden calf, the Egel, and the whole dialogue of Moshe and God when God said he's going to destroy the Jewish people. That the instrument that God has created for the fulfillment of his objectives on earth, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that I shall be sanctified amongst the b'nei Yisrael. So a person that recognizes that idea, that's attached to the whole idea that God's name should be sanctified, has to automatically have a certain attitude towards B'nai Yisrael. And that's why all of the various nations throughout history, and in our own time today, and all these individuals that clearly have a hatred of the Jewish people. And this is not just the Nazis, this is not just the Palestinians, because they try to claim it's because of Israel and all of that. I'm talking in the West. I'm talking about countries like France and Germany, which many, many people there have taken an anti-Israel posture, which I maintain is really anti-Semitic. I don't for a second accept their absurd rationalizations that it has to do with political considerations, because you can tell by the venom that they have. All of these people who define the Jews, B'nai Yisrael, in a negative light, it's really casts them off from any kind of a possibility of a relationship with God. It really bespeaks, underneath it all, is a hatred for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for God, and an absolute opposition to the sanctification of God in this world. This is said by the Tehillim. Lama Rak Shu'anim. The second chapter of Tehillim, which David HaMelech talks about all the various nations that have gathered together. They're always planning, they're always plotting for one purpose, to destroy the Jews. And he expressed that by what? Who are they up against? Al Hashem, the Al Mashiach. Against God and His anointed. God has anointed a particular people, designated a particular instrument for Kiddush Shemo, for the sanctification of His name. V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. I shall be sanctified among b'nei Yisrael. Whoever opposes the Jew opposes the objective of the sanctification of God's name. It has to be that way. Person cannot have a relationship with God and have a disparaging, negative, certainly a hateful attitude towards the Jewish people. Cuts himself off from God. To the contrary, one who recognizes the role that the Jewish people plays in terms of the sanctification of God, wants to be part of that nation, wants to be part of that experience. If he loves God and wants to sanctify his name, so he joins with the people of God who have that mission, who sanctify his name. So that's the second reason why a person would want to convert. Here, the focus is not so much on doing more mitzvahs. That's necessary, but that's only necessary because you want to be part of that people. And that's really the whole idea from Rus. Your nation is my nation. It doesn't speak about doing mitzvahs. But she wanted to be part of that group. She recognized what the essence of that group is all about. And I think that's one of the Chazal mentioned with regard to Yisro. That, of course, they argue what was the cause of his conversion. So one says because of the Mochemas Amalek, the war of Amalek. And on the surface, it's not easy to understand because that doesn't seem to be the biggest miracle. But it means that he recognized that the Jewish people are fighting a battle, a historical battle. And the historical battle of the Jewish people is to sanctify God's name. And whoever joins the Jewish people for that reason is putting himself on the highest possible level. He's negating Amalek, he's negating idolatry, and he's saying that the whole purpose of his life is to fight for the idea of the sanctification of God's name in the world. So I would say those are the two reasons. One is practical, individual, in terms of being part of a system which advances you to a higher level. That's one. It's Taryag, and being part of a community that emphasizes and values the whole system of living in accordance with Chachma. But secondarily, it's to be part of Klal Yisrael, V'niktashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael, that there's a separate avenue towards improving your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through being a part of Mashicha, His Anointed One. That's the only way. Any other system that is separate from this, that goes off in a different path, or seeks to manufacture a new type of a revelation which is not part of the Torah, outside of Torah, which modifies Torah, which distorts Torah, which seeks to make a change in Torah, by definition is false, and to the contrary, destroys your relationship with God.